Welcome to Real Talk Christian Podcast, where we drink coffee and have real conversations about faith, culture, and society. I'm your host, Chris Fuller.
And I'm Mark Hyde.
And on today's episode, we are actually doing a kind of a church thing, right?
Sermon series, baby!
Sermon series. We're going to do a series about signs of a mature Christian, and today is the kickoff of what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Mark, you ready for this conversation?
Keep walking.
Let's
you want that down our walk.
Keep walking. Let's go!
Let's go!
Well,
you know I had to throw some VeggieTales in there.
It was good, bro. You're just upset because we're not bantering. But
I don't know what to do with no banter, guys.
We're back.
I don't know what to do.
For the second time of this new RTC series. So let's start it off with a prayer. Mark, you want to pray or you want me to?
I'll pray this one.
All right.
I got to remember.
Bring it down a little bit.
That's right. Okay.
All right. So start us off with this prayer, and then we'll do coffee review, and we'll dive into the
episode. Sounds good. Let's pray and get the episode started, guys. So, Father God, we do thank you just for the podcast and the community that we have. God, we do thank you for all these fun conversations we are able to have. And as we talk about this conversation of what does it mean to walk in not just the Spirit, but walk in your Holy Spirit, God, I do pray that we feel a little bit more enlightened just to understand what that means better, but more than just have knowledge, actually know how do we actually walk with your Spirit, God, and show the world just the beauty of what it is to follow you, God. We pray for just not just strength to get through this conversation, but for those who are listening, strength to get through this day. And let's just have a great conversation in this. And I pray that everything honor and glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, the coffee we're drinking again, we're
Tekoa. We back to Tekoa
still. It's still the Tekoa. It's still that Ethiopian competition. I do too. That Ethiopian competition grade, which we spoke about last week.
But guys, listen. Since the episodes are shorter, I didn't finish my coffee last episode. And normally I finish it.
Well, I got the big boy mug. And I'm
done. I do too. Dude, I didn't talk about this last time. I had a Tennessee mug for Beth.
Is this considered banter, though?
No, it's not. It's about coffee.
That's coffee mug.
Oh, I intentionally picked a Tennessee cup because I want to think about Beth in these episodes. So I saw all the mugs. I went, oh, I want Tennessee. That's where Biffer's from. So hey, I got Tennessee mug for Beth.
Good job, buddy. All right. Anyways, our review today.
Let me get them brownie points, baby. Let me get them brownie points.
You go for it, buddy. Take many chances.
I'll also read the review because you wrote this episode. Well, so you have to guide the plane. Because this boy wants to keep flying for an hour and a half.
There's not much flying to do. It's a kind of autopilot. But anyways, go ahead and read that review.
And also, this is a good friend of mine, Jess Lee. So down in Florida.
Florida.
She ditched Northern Indiana because she was sick and tired of snow and she went down to Florida.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But here goes. She says, you give me something to chew on. 5 stars. It should have been 6, Jess, but you can only do what you can do. So I'm a wife and a mom, so I was uncertain if I would relate to this podcast. I have been forced to watch movies and listen to podcasts due to a really boring job I have working from home. You can hear Fuller's kids. However, I am super thankful I've came across this podcast and something about it is so real. I love that you guys don't sugarcoat anything. Following Jesus is easy, but life can make it difficult. Dang, put that on a shirt.
Yeah, right?
Following Jesus is easy, but life can make it difficult. You guys are breaking down barriers of religion in all the good ways. So, Jess.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Seriously, I guess technically I know your address, but prove that you still listen and send me a text. And
P.O. We'll Box. Sorry. Too much honesty.
too much real talk.
Anyways.
But just like always, guys, please leave us a rating and review anywhere you listen to podcasts. Fun fact, Google Podcasts is about to be done, and it's all on YouTube now. So all YouTube audio is over there. I don't know if you can leave a review on YouTube.
I don't know. We'll find out.
But Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating review over there. Do it on Facebook. Spotify, leave a rating. We're at like 1,500 ratings on Spotify, which
that's
is nerds. So keep leaving those rating reviews because that's how we get into the eyes and ears of other listeners.
Yeah. So let's dive into the episode.
Let's go.
4 minutes and 24 seconds. We're doing pretty good.
Did we get Sabrina? Did we get a bingo lately?
I don't know.
We
keep trying.
I watched Madam Secretary today.
We're diving into this mini sermon series. You like how I just ignored you on that?
Yep.
That's banter.
I love it.
That's banter. Anyways, we're diving into this new sermon series. When I say sermon series, it's stuck in my head now because of you.
Eight-part podcast series.
There's 8 parts to it, but we're not going to do all 8 parts sequentially, okay? So we're going to do a couple over the next few weeks. Then we're probably going to take a break.
And they're all standalone episodes,
but it's more around
the idea of how can we be mature in our faith? How can we become mature Christians?
Where these conversations are coming out of is currently at Southside Baptist Church. We are revitalizing a discipleship program.
Oh, dope.
And so I'm part of some of these conversations that we've been having of what does it look like to be a disciple? But before we could answer the question of what does it look like to be a disciple, we had to say, what is the end point? What does discipling do? What are we
Where are we going towards?
Right. What's the goal? And so we said, well, the goal is maturity in Christ, right? That should be the ultimate goal of every Christian, is to be a mature Christian in Christ and be a great ambassador for the Savior of the world, right? And so we're like, okay, let's break that down. And so
it's like a research project.
We were challenged to just kind of think through that, right? What does being a mature Christian look like? And as I studied and prayed and researched, I came up with this big list of eight reasons or eight things that I think a mature Christian should look like or should be doing or stuff like that to help out their Christian walk. And I had it in one episode, and then we, as a couple of weeks ago, we said we had to switch gears with the podcast, which is totally fine.
Let's be honest, we decided to a couple of dang long episodes.
It was going to be one episode, and I was going to kind of just touch base on 8 points. And instead of doing that, I've broken up the 8 points into 8 shows. And we're going to focus just a hair bit more in on each point. And
let's be honest, before someone's like, oh man, eight episodes on the same topic. Let's be honest, the last 250 episodes have been on the same topic.
Yeah,
Jesus. How to be a good Christian and follow Jesus. Like, come on.
And we did the 7 deadly sins. Well, it's 6 so far.
Oh yeah, we still got one more to do.
But we're almost done with that series. Yep. But it's going to be similar to that, right? It's not going to be every week like that one wasn't every week. But yeah, we're going to have a couple weeks.
Maybe we'll, if we get some guests on, we can, you know, stagger those in. We'll see what happens.
Definitely. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit, right? And that's the big question we're here to talk about today.
And I guess before we do that, my first question is why are we starting with this one? Out of all the different ones you had, why this
one
first?
They're not sequential.
Oh, okay. Okay, I wasn't sure if they all built on each other or if it's just, these are different marks. Being a mature Christian, here's what you got
to
do.
To me, this is, it's just different marks. None are better than the other, and they're not like, oh, you got to be doing this first before you do this. It's kind of like, these are my thoughts.
Gotcha. It's not like Girl Scout cookies where there is obvious better and worse, and Thin Mints are the worst. Like, it's not like that, right?
Shortbreads are the worst, but
shortbreads are the best. So let's go.
Caramel delights and lemons. Lemons are terrible. Anyways, let's go. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So when I say walking in the Spirit, I'm talking about like walk in the Spirit means to like refrain from evil and producing spiritual fruit, right?
Okay.
That the signs of walking with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about Galatians 5. Verses 13 through 26. And it says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't want to, or so you don't do what you want to. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, but the law is fulfilled through loving your neighbor, which is being led by the Spirit. So it's kind of weird.
I know, that's what my brains were like, wait, but if you're led by the Spirit, that means you're above the law?
But we aren't under the law because the law is pre-Christ, right? It showed the law points to we need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in the Spirit is post-Christ, where we're being led by the Spirit.
Right.
And so we're not under it, because Christ has fulfilled it. I guess that's where I'm going with it. But
I got you.
Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality.
I love how it says obvious.
Obvious, yeah. It's like, dude. It's like, bruh. This is like smack you in the
Paul
face.
Paul just said, bruh.
Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. Anything similar. That's the big thing. It's like, man, that's a lot, right? If it looks anything like any of this, there's a problem. My tablet just went.
Yeah, Evernote just updated both of ours.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anyways, I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so that was the refraining from evil.
Refrain from the crap.
So we just talked about refraining from evil.
The fruit of the Spirit is...
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That in itself is a sermon series. We could have like dueling sermon series going here. Anyways.
It's the final countdown.
You are really having a hard time not doing the banter, I can tell.
I want to sing a Creed song right now.
The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Mm. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, go ahead.
Well, no, but so question, because I've never even dwelt on this. So it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Saying that keeping in step with the Spirit is actually a different action than... Like keeping in step with the Spirit is a separate action, but living. But no, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let's also.
Right.
So are they two separate things of is walking with the Spirit and then
living by the Spirit. I think it's saying if we live with the Spirit, right, if we call ourselves a Christian,
right,
if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, then we should walk as a follower of Christ.
Right. And that's what I was thinking too. So there's so...
Put your money where your mouth is basically what
it's that's what's up. Because a lot of people say, oh yeah, follow Jesus. And it's like...
You do?
Bro, you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I just saw you walking Folgers. Out of like,
Oh, I'm sorry. That was too easy.
That was a good one, though.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. Anyways,
I see you walking out of that strip club. Are you sure?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You sure about that? Hey, you're
messing around with folks.
You're stumbling out of that bar. You sure?
Yeah, I see you cussing your coworker out.
I mean, I see you.
I see you flirt when you should
be. I see you leaving the brothel. I mean, are you sure? I see you leave.
Wow, that just went.
I see you getting your tarot card reading.
But it even talks about outbursts of anger and then greed, like selfish ambitions. Like you grinding, you trying to get to the top of that corporate ladder.
Let's talk about selfish ambitions, though.
Okay.
Right? What does it mean to have selfish ambitions?
I'll be honest. Now that I'm a business owner and like the sky is the limit, it's hard to keep selfish ambitions in check.
But it could be such small things. I'm being honest with you. Like my selfish ambitions, like I would rather have my way than caring about anybody else's way. Like just
low key,
right? It's like, man, how do you keep that? Like that's the hard thing that everybody's got to keep in check, right? It's that caring. It's that what we talked about: love your neighbor as yourself. It's that loving the other people more than yourself. That's hard to do.
And this is what's interesting, though. And I'm curious what Paul's idea was, because he said that. Let's see, for it's obvious what goes against the Spirit.
Right.
But selfish ambition is one of those where, like, it's very obvious to look at very dark, evil, unkind things in the world. Yep. And you don't even need to be a Christian to be like, that's wrong. Yeah. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
Like, you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Like, we know that. But selfish ambition, though, is right now we're living in a hustle and grind culture.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to grind. I mean, dude, every course that is advertising me is here. How to make 6 figures? How to make 8 figures? How to make 10 figures?
So it goes.
Here's how to have a jet.
But I think it goes back to the heart, which is why it says a mature Christian, right? Mm-hmm. This is where the maturity is going to walk in step with the Spirit. This is where my mind was at, right? So to a mature Christian, these things are obvious, right? It's easy for me to say. I'm pointing this out. Like I know this about me. I know I struggle with this. Like it's identifying it, right?
Yep.
To a mature Christian, they can identify these things. And a mature Christian is going to show the fruit of the Spirit, these things, right? Mm-hmm. This is what he's going to choose. That's the maturity level, right? This is, again, discipleship, which I think I would consider even myself a semi-disciple still, you know. Semi-disciple is like, there's this weird, awkward stage of you're a disciple, but you're teaching. So I say semi.
So you're old.
So I'm getting old. I've got gray hair. So do you.
Yeah, I got Welcome. My gray in my beard.
Anyways, but so there's some, but there, you know, age has nothing to do with the maturity of a spirit.
No, I got you.
Anyways, but anyways, so there's this a bit of
balance between being a disciple.
But for a mature Christian, right, it's like I know that these things are going to get me in trouble, so I've put protections up so I don't fall into these things, and I pray, I read my Bible, I do all these other things, which helps me. It's changed my heart. God has worked this in me, as through the sanctification process where these things may be a little bit easier for
me. Yeah, and let's lean into that because I think there is a big bridge there that Christians do need to have where, you know, and I know this through talking with so many teenagers, so many adults that I've counseled at in the pastoral world, watching, you know, my own stupidity, watching other people around me do stupid things, and also just talking people with you guys in the Facebook group where there is a hard bridge between, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yes, I know I'm supposed to do this and not this, but holy crap, how do I do that?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where the struggle is. And that's what Paul's talking about, where it's the fact of if we live by him, like, yeah, you live in, you following Jesus,
yeah.
But you best keep a step with him because you ain't doing that right now. And it's really easy to fall out of step. So my question would be, and maybe this is the segue into your next thought, is more the fact of what are ways that we can walk in the Spirit?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, definitely. And
I just teed you up, didn't I?
Yeah, so our good friends at gotquestions.org, I'm just going to quote them because I really love what they had to say. They said, those who walk in the Spirit are united with him and are the bearers of the fruit of the Spirit produces. Are the bearers of the fruit the Spirit produces. So they got the fruit of the Spirit is what it's saying. Thus, those who walk in the Spirit walk in love. They live in love for God and for their fellow man. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in joy. They exhibit gladness in what God has done, is doing, and will do. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in peace. Their lives are not defined by worry or anxiety, Philippians 4:6. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in patience. They are known for having a, quote-unquote, long fuse and do not lose their temper. This is still a struggle for me.
I'm like, come on.
So, those who walk in the Spirit walk in kindness. They show tender concern for the needs of others. Those who walk in Spirit walk in goodness. Their actions reflect virtue and holiness. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in faithfulness. They are steadfast in their trust of God and His Word. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in gentleness. Their lives are characterized by humility, grace, and thankfulness to God. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in self-control. They display moderation, constraint, and the ability to say no to the flesh. So did you get the theme there?
Mm-hmm.
They just quoted the fruits of the Holy Spirit and just broke it down. Like, I was like, that's it right there, right? That's what it means to walk in step with the Spirit. It's having these fruits. It's displaying these fruits. It's being what we say on the podcast, being the hands and feet of Jesus.
There you go.
Right? So that's what it is, and that's the ways we can walk in the Spirit. Now, what is the significance of us walking in this?
Well, I don't want to get to that yet because I do have a thought because,
right,
you know, we talk about what are ways we can walk in the Spirit and all these things are good.
Yeah.
But I think that they're still missing one more step and that's the Christian community aspect.
Well, I don't think so because that's part of the love for your fellow man.
Well, it's true. But
that,
you know,
that's a community aspect.
Yeah. It did talk about all those things, but I kept thinking and I was looking for it. Whereas the fact that we talk about kindness and gentleness, self-control, patience, peace, and love and joy.
Walk in kindness. They show tender concern for the needs of others. I mean, so you're
But I mean, like, I'm thinking more the fact of there's so many Christians who are striving to do this, but because of the environment that they're in, it could be hard. Because I know, like, it's hard in certain work environments.
Community helps build this, but community does not cause you to walk in this.
No. It's
supports,
a choice.
It supports it. Just like Scripture supports walking in the Spirit, prayer supports it. Going to church supports it. So there's supports, right? It's like it's like walking in the Spirit is like the top of a stool and there's three legs, right? There's community, tribe, church, whatever you want to call it, right? There's Scripture and there's prayer. It's like a three-legged stool that support walking in the Spirit.
And so with that, I mean, I would make my stool legs a little different. That's the point. They're just the same stuff. But
you're just using different words?
Well, I would put prayer in Scripture in the same one because that's talking with God.
Okay.
And I would say the other one is, you know, actually living the way we're called to live. So it's our actions, it's our community, and it's our relationship with God, what does all that. But either, that's the point. But
We'll go with either
whatever.
One.
But, you know, here's the thing, though, that I'm thinking about when it comes to what are ways to also help, ways to help us keep our mind focused on the Spirit and walking with the Spirit is also intentionally surrounding us with other folks who also want to walk with the Spirit and help us walk in our walk too. Because you think of all the time where it's the fact of if your closest best friend, person, your ride or die that you're with 24/7 is not a believer, they, and I'm not saying just because they're not a believer, you can't be friends with them, but they're making a lot of decisions that you as a Christian would be like, I don't want to do that type of thing. I don't want to engage in that. I don't want to watch those movies, go to those places, do those things. But they're your best friend. You're with them 24/7. It could be really hard to walk in the Spirit because you're constantly putting yourself into places that aren't necessarily, I would say, fruitful for you. You're not making wise choices. You're not using self-control and even who you choose to spend your time with. And so I do think there is a level of being around a Christian community and being a part of the community where if you do fall and you do screw up, you have someone to pick you back up to help you keep along, walk along the
path.
Well,
and that's, I mean, I think as a, and we're going to get into that later on in the eight different signs, there is that portion of community that is in there.
But so that's what I would add too is, so how do you walk in the Spirit? You know, we talked about a lot of those. But I would say one of the big ways to walk in the Spirit is to also walk alongside folks who also are trying to walk in the Spirit too.
Yeah, but you can't base your soul relationship and your walk based upon whether you're walking with others who are walking in the Spirit, right? Because God's not going to look at you and go, oh, Mark, okay, we're going to give you a pass because you were hanging out with people that were bad.
You're hanging out with, wait, what do you mean?
You were hanging out with bad people, so you did bad things, so we're going to give you a pass. He's going to say, no, why were you hanging out with bad people?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Why were you doing
that? You should have said no. Like, that's, you should have chosen me. It's that whole thing of where he says, if you love me, you will hate father, mother, brother, sister, uncle. You know, you should hate all those and choose me over all that, right? So if we're not choosing him over all that, I would say you probably aren't at that maturity level yet.
Oh, and I would agree. But I would, but again, you know, the more mature, and we're going to talk about this in a different episode, as you just alluded to, but I would say, you know, what are ways to walk in the Spirit? I would say making sure you're walking with other folks who are also trying to walk in the Spirit.
A wise Christian would,
There you go.
Wisdom, right?
There you go.
But it's still not only, all I'm saying is it's not an excuse. So
I agree.
Anyways, so what's the significance of walking in the Spirit? We've kind of covered it, right? What's the significance? It's to grow in that Christian maturity, right? And being in lockstep with the Spirit, it's learning who God is and what God wants and his, you know, we talk about his will. Well, how are you going to know his will? Well, the easiest way is to be like, well, who is God, and understanding him. You kind of can get a good flavor for maybe what his will is. Should I, you know, go to see this movie that is rated R that has this nudity? Well, if I know God, I probably shouldn't. Or if I don't know God, it's fine. It's just whatever, you know, it is what it is. And so there's little choices like that, whereas when we're in lockstep with the Spirit, we can know God's will just based on knowing the character of God, which he's put on display through the Scripture. And we'll get into that in some other episode too.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm seeing too in this passage of what's the significance of it is walking in the Spirit is what creates that love between one another as well. And like that last passage where it says, let us not become conceited. After it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Right. And if we walk in the Spirit, there's got to be a sense of, although you might not go out and do the parties and do the fun thing that people are like, this is man, if you ain't doing that, you ain't even living. Sure. Like if you just at home all the time baking bread, bro, you ain't even living. When in reality, it's the fact of, no, you have a lot of regrets and heartaches and baggage because of your decision. So there also is a level of understanding as being a mature Christian where the fact of, I'm going to say no to, how does Dave Ramsey word? I'm trying to think of the way he words it.
Here's the thing. You're saying no, you're refraining from evil. That's the thing, right? And that's what that scripture is beginning
saying,
of Galatians.
You're saying no to something now to enjoy something better later.
I'm saying.
Delayed gratification. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. So the last part I want to bring up here, and then I'm going to land the plane with this because we're coming up on our 30-minute mark and we still got to do an outro, is why is it an important part of why is walking in the Spirit an important part of being a mature Christian? And this is kind of the lead scripture which leads out all this.
So we'll touch on the scripture like in every one of these?
I don't know about everyone, but it's an important theme to have in mind as we go through. And maybe I will bring it in. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ to which you are called, to which you were also called in one body, rule over your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing together in gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. So to me, this is the epitome of a mature Christian overall. That's why I said this is the overarching theme. If you want to know what a mature Christian looks like, this section of scripture right here is full display, verbatim, what I take as this is what a mature Christian in Christ looks like.
And, you know, when we talk about our big theological terms we like to talk about, I love how you bring it up a lot of times where there's, you know, there's salvation, there's justification, there's sanctification.
Right.
And, you know, when we talk about putting on things, because, you know, walking in the Spirit is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, choosing to do these things is a stinking choice.
Choose this day whom you will serve.
And it even says, therefore, as God's holy ones, holy and dearly beloved, put it on. And it says, don't do what the Gentiles do. Don't do what you used to do. Right. Do this instead.
Right.
And so part of putting on the Spirit is a choice to obey. Like, yeah. I think of Bonhoeffer's quote of only the obedient believe and only the believers obey.
Right.
And it's the idea, the fact of if you are a Christian, you have to still choose to pick up your cross every single day and follow him. And so there's a choice we have to do to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Because let's be honest.
We don't do
when
it.
When my kids are screaming at each other, you better believe I don't want to put this on.
No, it's hard to do.
I don't want to put on patience. I don't want to put on kindness. And this is I feel rebuked right now, to be honest. And Beth is probably going to bring this up later. Is when my kids have spilled, like the third kid in a row has dropped their stinking cereal bowl and milk has exploded. I lost my crap the other day, dude, because I was tired of it.
Right.
And because I'm like, can you guys just...
You know what gets me? What gets me is when my kids slam their doors. And it's like, like, I hate that, but whatever.
Yeah, but there's little things where we have to choose to put on the Spirit in this. And this is not a salvation matter.
No, it's a sanctification
matter. And so going back to that last part where it says, if we live by the Spirit... Let us keep in step. How do we do that? Jump to Colossians. You put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing one another, forgiving one another, just as the Lord forgave you. And above all, put on love.
Which is the perfect bond of unity.
So with walking in the Spirit, what's the significance of it is the fact of you'll actually walk the way Jesus wants you to walk.
You'll walk the walk and talk the talk.
And better relationship with God and with one another, which is what it's all about anyways.
Exactly.
Any other final thoughts, buddy? Let's do some fun facts.
Let's do it.
Time for Fun Facts with
Fiddler. Well, the fun fact of the day, my friend, is did you know the first alarm clock could only ring at 4 a.m.?
Shut up. What?
Yeah, the first American alarm clock was invented by Levi Hutchins in 1787. It took 60 years for a French inventor, Antoine Radier, to patent an adjustable alarm clock.
And he better have
a whole 60 years before we can adjust it. It was 4 a.m.
What's his name? Antoine Radier?
Radier.
He probably has a special place in heaven, man. Because alarm going off at what?
4 a.m. Well, my alarm goes off at 3:30 during the work week. So, I mean, your boy's already
up. The fact that's like the only one could be 4 a.m. Why?
Hey, that's probably where that old saying, the early bird catches the worm, came from, because it was everybody was waking
now,
up early.
Now, before alarm clocks, have you seen those other fun facts where people used to throw, I think we maybe done that fun fact here, where there's like women were paid to wake up a certain time to throw pebbles at the rich people's windows to wake them up, right?
Right, I did bring that
something
fun fact.
Crazy like that. I don't remember. It's something crazy like that. But you know what else is crazy?
What's that?
That people have been listening to this podcast so stinking long.
236 episodes.
And if you're new, welcome. We're glad you're here. Leave a review. Hang out with us for a little bit longer. But if you've been listening to the podcast for like a couple years and you have not joined that Facebook group,
what is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Oh, kids are still young.
Apparently, the kids are still awake. It's also wild that the last two episodes combined are still shorter than some of our longer episodes, which is really funny. But, guys, we want to continue the conversation. So we're trying to keep these episodes tighter, shorter, more compact, which is what some of y'all have been asking for anyways. But we don't want to have the conversation end here in these episodes of this podcast. So jump over to the Facebook group where we can have more conversation about this. We might be popping into the Facebook group. You never know when we might pop in there. So make sure you join the Facebook group. You can find a community to learn how to walk in the Spirit together.
And if you haven't already, go over to our YouTube page, hit that subscribe button and the bell notification.
Damn.
So when we're on, you're notified because you never know when we're going to jump on and just be like, Sparkle Jazz Hands.
It's been like twice in 5 years, guys, but it's but you don't know.
It does happen.
You don't
know. It does
know.
Happen. But anyways.
Yep, and make sure you head over to the RTC website, realtalkchristianpodcast@gmail.com. It has all of the different shows, the show notes. You can search the entire database to see if we maybe answered a question that you have. And I even looked online. You can get the nice forest green RTC shirt inside of the store as well. So anything else for before we let these beautiful, wonderful people go?
No, sir.
Love it. Well, hey, guys, we love you. And until next time.
You take it easy.